What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one platform for DJs to build their career online. And today we have DJ Brown Boy, my friend in the DJ world. DJ Brown Boy, please introduce yourself. Tell the people who you are and where you're from.
What's going on, man? What's up, world? DJ Brown Boy, you know what I'm saying, representing the Bronx, New York, by way of Mount Vernon. You know, just here, happy to be here for this, this podcast interview. I'm very excited, man. Thanks for kicking off a slot for me. So I'm ready to dive in and just, you know, spread some good vibes and some knowledge, man.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you, man. And you've been rocking with the club and with me from day one, from before the app was even public. You were there in our initial launch before it was a public app. So I appreciate you and all you've done for me. It's really been a blessing, man. So I want to, you know, use this opportunity for you to tell your story to the people, how you got into the DJ game and kind of your journey within it. So you can kind of give us the beginning story of how you got started, like what sparked your interest and at what age did you start DJing?
Cool, man. So yeah, so I'll try to keep a long story short, you know. So basically, I've been a music lover all my life, you know, similar to a lot of other DJs that you hear, you know, household, a lot of music, gospel, funk, soul, R&B, some rock. So, you know, I was blessed to be around that at an early age. Just always had a good ear for, you know, all types of music, always kept an open mind. And how I really got started DJing was my older cousin Harold, who's actually my mentor. Shout out to him. They call him Mr. Finer Touch. He actually put me on, you know, my parents, God rest their souls. We used to have a big house in the Bronx, Northeast Bronx, Southern Mount Vernon. We used to throw barbecues to the block every summer, like the whole block would be in the backyard. We had a huge backyard and my cousin Harold would DJ. And this is back when, you know, vinyl was popping, you know, vinyl back then. I don't want to show my age to y'all, but hey, I'm old school, but he used to DJ the parties and, you know, it's come through. He'd be like, yo, man, do you want to learn how to DJ? And I was like, I don't want to do that, man. You know, I was young. I was, you know, wanted to chase girls and play tag football. Well, actually tackle football on the concrete street, you know. So I was just, you know, grown boy. I wasn't interested in that. Even though I love music, I had no interest in DJing. Kept doing it every summer. Next summer, he'd come around. Yo, I'm telling you, you can do this, man. Like, it's fun. You see how much fun I'm having? I make a little bit of money, you know, uncle hit me off. I'm like, word, my dad gave me $100. I only get $100 taking out the trash, you know? So it started from there. Then, you know, went over to his house. You know, he taught me a couple of things. It's crazy because the first two records I tried to beat match were, and I remember them to this day, was Sucker MCs, Run DMC, and Fat Boys All You Can Eat. And I couldn't get them to mix together. I kept trying and trying. And I just like, oh, I don't want to do this no more. I'm frustrated. He was like, nah, man, you got to practice. Went home, thought about it some more. My best friend who used to live across the street, Marlon, his father was a DJ from like Jamaica. So he had like records and turntables in the basement. Let's go over there, start, you know, just messing around with the reggae and the dub plates, start beat mixing. I got it together. Went back to my cousin's crib. Finally beat mix Sucker MCs and All You Can Eat. And he was like, yo, where'd you learn that? I was like, you know, my friend across the street got, you know, turntables, his dad, you know. He's like, yo, you should keep on going. Like, you sound really good. So I was like, all right, whatever, you know. So the buzz kept going. And it's crazy because my mom used to give me $5 to go get lunch, you know what I'm saying, after school. And it's crazy because I would go spend the $5 to get records instead of getting lunch. Every time I come home, I get yelled at. So it's crazy. So me and my best friend came up with this plan. I was like, yo, here's the thing. I'm going to take the $5. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get the records. You carry the records and I'll carry your lunch. So it looks like I bought lunch and you bought the records. So I won't get yelled at. He's like, cool, cool. So we just started doing that. My record collection just started getting bigger and bigger. I started practicing over there and I got a buzz for it, man. I really liked it because, you know, like I said, I was a music lover before, but the fact that I can manipulate and mix the music to my liking, that's how it all got started, man.
That's amazing, man. It's super interesting because I hear this common story of DJs when they're young, you know, they find this passion for it and this love for it, and they start practicing and getting to know the craft. You know, in those beginning stages, how long did it take you to, you know, to really get decent enough to feel comfortable DJing in a crowd? Like, how many hours, you know, were you practicing? Because I've been hearing various stories about how long or how many, you know, hours of practice DJs kind of did in the beginning just to get them, you know, to that beginning stage level where they can, you know, perform for other people.
Oh man, it took practice. I would say like we'd be in my best friend's basement, just down there for hours, like after school. Like, you know, you get out of school at 3 o'clock, you know, we get home by like 3:30, do a little homework, sometimes don't do no homework, you know, go in the basement till like 9-10 o'clock at night. My mom be coming across the street, like, yo, you got school tomorrow, get your ass at home. Excuse my French, but you know, get your ass in the house, it's late, you know. So hours and hours and days, man, just being down there, just studying and just mixing the music and just buying, you know, the 12-inch records and listening to other DJs on the radio, you know, the radio stations. Back then it was like, you know, Red Alert, it was Mr. Magic, it was Molly Mall, you know what I'm saying? So I used to listen to all those guys. I was like, damn, man, like they really doing a thing. And that's where I got my inspiration too from. But practice, it was just, I can't even come up with the countless hours, man. It's probably just so many hours down there, man. But we loved it. You know what I'm saying? We loved it. The basement had mold and everything. We didn't care. We was just down there just doing our thing. You know what I'm saying?
Man, that's super interesting, because like some people think they can just jump in and become a DJ. Like, yeah. for even with me, like I, you know, started the app. I bought the small controller and I was trying it. I'm like, wow, this is not as easy as you guys make it think. You know, and it's like, wow, you have to really have a passion for it, to put in the time to practice the skill set of DJing, you know. And that's super amazing that at a young age you found that inspiration and you just kept on having motivation to keep you going, you know. Yeah, so after, man, those, you know, early introductions to the DJ, kind of where did your story go from there?
From there, you know, we just started, my cousin was actually doing like college parties. He went to Pace University and stuff like that. But before that, you know, me and my friend, you know, we bought a little equipment, little belt drop turntables, little cheesy amp that his father gave us, little beat up speakers. We used to have parties in like his backyard in his garage, just invite our friends over. So it's crazy. I would do like the hip hop and R&B, he would spin the reggae. And at one point I got better at the reggae, and you know, back then, you know, they had Soundboy clashes, like big, you know, stereo Jamaican DJs just battling each other, and they would put me on. They'd be like, yo, who's this American kid spinning this dance hall, know about this dance hall and stuff? Then he turned around and do a hip hop. They were like, yo, like you really good, man. Like, how old are you? I'm like, yeah, 12, 13. It's like, damn, you know what I'm saying? At a young age, you're good. But it started from there. And then, you know, I think, you know, the very first party I did, y'all, I think I was like 15 years old. And it was a Pace University party, like real party, besides like the backyard, you know, just messing around with your friends and stuff like that. My cousin was like, yo, I'm going to put you on. And I was like, huh? He's like, I'm going to put you on. It's going to be your very first party. Now imagine a 14, 15 year old kid, you know, spinning for a college crowd, very first party. And he said, I'm going to put you on for like 10 minutes. Rocked out for 10 minutes. They liked it. He was like, yo, you want to go a little bit more? I said, nah, I got it. Kept going a little bit more. 10 minutes turned to 15, 15 turned to 20, 20 turned to 30. You know, before that, I was rocking out for like an hour. Just like, you know, just killing them. You know what I'm saying? So that's where it really started. And then from then, it just progressed. Hour turned into 2 hours. 2 hours turned to 3 hours. To the point my cousin was like, he would just walk away. He even got to watch me. He's like, nah, Brown got it. Don't worry about it.
Yo, that's so crazy, man. At the age of 15,
yeah,
rocking, man, out for college parties, you know, that is amazing, man. And, mm-hmm, you know, when you were telling the story in the beginning of this interview, you know, I didn't know that you were that young. You know, I was expecting you to say that you were older than that, you know, with your introduction to DJing. And that's so important, where it doesn't matter what age you are, you know, how young you are, how old you are. If you love DJing, you love music, and you want to get, mm-hmm, into craft, just get in and do it. So, you know, a lot of people that listen to this podcast are either people that are interested in getting into DJ, or they're in DJ and they want to take their skills to the next level. And it, definitely, just starts with passion. You know, if you have that passion, don't be afraid to get started and get into it. And don't be, sure, afraid to make mistakes, because that's the only way you're going to get better and you're going to, you know, progress in your DJing. And now I want to talk more about, you know, this was your first, you know, big party. And, you know, at what point did you see DJing as a hobby and see it transition to a career? And walk me through a little bit about that, where it kind of transitioned to where you started getting paid for gigs and, yeah, started making money from it.
Oh man, that's a very good question, man. Just like I said, it's worth just being with my cousin. You know, in college, he joined a wedding entertainment company, where they did like weddings and private events. So this was like in the early mid 90s. So you can imagine how it was back then, you know. So he started there. Now I was still doing my thing, you know, around the way in backyards and stuff like that. But he kind of taught me the ropes again. He's like, listen, I didn't know about this whole like mobile DJ private stuff. I thought I was just going to be like doing like backyard barbecues and stuff for the family and my friends. He's like, yo, I can make a little money from this. Do you want to come on and join me? You know, I'm like, all right, you know, that's cool. You know, the normal answer, all right, you know. So it took me along. He just showed me the ropes and it was just a different world, man. Yo, let me tell y'all, for those who are listening to this podcast, it's a real different world from going from a bedroom DJ, if you're a radio or club DJ, to a wedding private event DJ. It's three totally different worlds. And when I got to that world, I saw like the potential just making money and really showcasing your talent to where people will pay you maybe double, triple your, just because you have that talent and that environment and that, you know, you have the presentation. You work with an entertainment company. So gaining those skills, it was very important. So like my first real paid gig was like a wedding. And I was like, wow, I get paid to like DJ somebody's wedding, like DJ their special day. Like this is someone's special day and they're trusting you with the music, like for four to five hours. So yeah, it started from there and just started building up. And you know, my cousin, he started his own company. We branched off, we started doing our thing. It was just a really good experience. And I was glad to really be in that environment and learn from it. And like I said, I was just sucking up everything, just sucking up all the knowledge. Like even just like the neighborhood I grew up in, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I grew up in Mount Vernon, like, you know, lower Mount Vernon, Northeast Bronx, where, you know, I go around the corner to Chinese food and I see Heavy D just chilling in the corner. You know what I'm saying? I go to the corner, hang out with my friends, CeeLo Smooth and Pete Rock just come walking down the street to the train station. I go and hang out at my family's house in Greenberg and I see this Grand Poobah from Brand Nubian just driving by. So you just imagine being in that environment during that time where these are the people that you listen to on the radio. And it's like, damn, like I go around the corner and these are like my heroes, like right there, like saying what's up. So that really inspired me too. Like if they're doing it on a professional level and they're still humble to be around the way and say what's up and they travel in the world on the radio, I took that as like, man, I can really do something with this. So, you know, the pay gig started coming and just really embraced it. And the thing about, I want everybody to know, is like, you know, always remain humble. You know what I'm saying? Even though you can get paid $500,000, $1,000, $1,500, whatever you get paid for, remain humble, because, you know, as soon as things come, they can go. But I learned from it, man. It's a learning experience.
That's amazing, man. And it's a blessing that you're around such amazing people, you know, even early in your DJ career, and you were able just to watch the greats and just be in close proximity to them and see that it's attainable for you too. You know what I mean? Like some people, they don't really have the vision that, hey, this is for me. This is something that I can do to achieve greatness. And you were able to see it firsthand and be able to thrive and flourish within it, man. So I'm super excited to hear, you know, kind of where your career progressed from there and just how, you know, things are going over the past 10 years or so as you are progressing in your DJ career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, man. It's like I said, experience, be humble, learn, sit down and talk to people, you know, make time to speak to people, just like yourself. You're making time for us. We definitely appreciate it. Make time for people, man. Just, you know, I go into every situation with the willingness to learn, you know, never go in there big headed, never go in there hard headed with a rock head. Be humble, be willing to learn, because even though I've been doing this for a long time, I learn something new every day, man. We all do. And that's part of being human. Never stop learning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, that's great advice. And, you know, like building relationships, it's super important in all industries. And if you're not humble, if you're not willing to learn, you're not willing to build those relationships, you're going to have a really tough time making it in the industry. Like, tell me a little bit about some of the relationships that were super valuable within your journey as a DJ that kind of helped take you to the next level in your business.
Definitely. A good friend of mine, DJ John Rizzle, really cool guy. I used to watch him in the DJ booth. He was DJing a spot called Colors in Elmsford. Those who know Colors in Elmsford, shout out to y'all if y'all remember that. But I used to just sit there and just watch him, like during the college nights, and like just watch him play like all this music. And like the point, my cousin, and come, you know, I go with my cousin, my friends, like, yo, come down to the booth. Like, nah, I'm good, man. I want to stay up here. So I would stay in the booth for like 4 or 5 hours straight and just sit there and just watch him. So being around that, just relationships that I built, man, I was very fortunate to be around people. You know what I'm saying? Like my sister, you know, she knew a lot of people in the industry. Like she grew up with like Flash, Furious Five, all them people from the Bronx. You know, she grew up with Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick. So just being around them, like I said, man, just soaking up all that knowledge. And as far as a DJ and just keeping that circle open, you know what I'm saying? I was thankful enough that a lot of my cousins, older cousins, I didn't know you were DJs back then too. And I'm like, you finally told me this 20 years later, you know what I'm saying? But it's, you just see how like the cycle just keeps going over and over again. It's like a big revival cycle that, like I said, knowledge, be humble, man. And when you put yourself in that environment, it's really great because it really inspires you, you know? And that's what really inspired me, just seeing people who were close to me really doing it. You know, it wasn't like, it wasn't reachable. It was like, oh, I can't reach him because he's all the way over there. Oh man, she's over there doing her thing. She forgot about me. It was like, yo, you need, just call me. I'll show you how to scratch, show you how to mix. It's like, word? Yes, come over to the house, man. So it's those relationships are very key in our, you know, to me, staying in that DJ booth every Thursday night for 4 to 5 hours for a year really molded me. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. That's super important, man. And one thing that's super important as a DJ as well is to focus on building a brand. So tell me a little bit about your brand. You know, mm-hmm. you have, you know, your DJ name, DJ Brown Boy. Like, how did that name come about? And tell me a little bit about some of the things that make you you and stand out as a DJ.
Definitely. Well, the name was actually kind of crazy. You know, I had so many names back in the day, as we all did. I was a DJ Pooh Love, you know, DJ Short Stuff. And it was just crazy. But the name Brown Boy came from two reasons. Brown is my favorite color, one of my favorite colors. James Brown is one of my favorite artists of all time. And the boy, which is spelled B-O-I, Big Boy from Outkast is one of my favorite rappers. So put those together, you can kind of already see the vibe where the name came from. Soul, funk, hip hop, experimental, just different sounds clashed together. It sounded cool. I was like, DJ Brown Boy, Brown Boy, Boy Brown, Brown. I was like, Brown Boy, kind of rolls off the tongue. And no, you, of course you get the advice from your friends, but yo, how do you think this name sounds? They're like, oh yeah, no, that sounds cool. Sounds cool. So that's how the name came about. And I just stuck with it, man. So, you know, it's funny. It's funny because at the most craziest times, you know, riding a train, a bus, driving, just sitting down, these ideas come to me. You know, I could be just like right now, just sitting in the bed, just relaxing. Boom, an idea will come in my head. So that's how the name came about. I've just been rocking with it. And everybody's like, yo, Brown, what's up, Brown Boy? You know, so it just stuck with me. And I think as far as like my style and my personality, like I really try to just bring something different every time when I DJ. Just experimenting with different music, because it's funny, because I'll go back to a story as a DJ in college. And it's this crazy story. I used to do the college parties back in Manhattan College. Shout out to them, right? When I was a student there. I did like a student party, and this one girl from student activities, I was talking to my boy Chris. He's a really, really cool guy. He was one of the admins over there. This one girl, she was like a volunteer student for the student activities group. And Chris was like, yeah, James is gonna DJ to so-and-so. She's like, oh, why? All he's gonna play is rap music. Who listens to rap music all the time? Okay, so I didn't respond. I was like, okay, I got you. Later that night, R&B. Hip hop, dance, techno, rock, funk, heavy metal, punk. And she came up to me and she was like, you know what? I apologize for what I said to you earlier. You're a really good DJ. So just, you know, that opportunity, that situation gave me an opportunity to really showcase, like, whoa, like James, well, my real name is James. James is like a real good DJ. Like, Jesus, like, yo, I didn't know. It's like, you know that music? Yeah, why not? It's music. You know Stone Temple Pilots? Why not? You know Nirvana? Yeah, I'm a big Kurt Cobain fan. So what? Yeah, but you play hip hop. And don't you know that hip hop takes for all elements of music? So, you know, it's just, I try to bring that with every time I play something. Now, of course, if I'm in a mood, like, yo, I'm gonna rock all salsa today, you know, but majority of the time I try to sneak little things in. It's like, yo, I didn't know he knew it. Yo, he blended that dope. Yo, what artist is that? Let me Shazam the artist. Who are you playing? So just really just keeping an open mind is really being an avid music lover. You know, that's what really pushed my brand and my style. And that's what people know me as, to where I can go into a party and play all kinds of music and the people will be satisfied. You know what I'm saying? That's the joy I get.
Definitely, man. And knowing you over these past couple of months, one thing that stands out about you, this ties into your brand from what I see from you, is your professionalism. Mm-hmm. You are one of the most professional DJs that I know, that when you say, hey, I'm going to be there at this time, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I know that DJ Brown Boy will do it, and he'll be punctual and he'll be doing it. And like, you know, that's one thing that I really love about you, is that you really stick by your word.
Thank you.
You do the things that you say you're going to do, you know, and talk to the DJs about, you know, professionalism and how, by being able to not only just be a good, skillful DJ to know how to mix music, but knowing how to run your DJ as a business, how that's going to, you know, improve your relationships and improve your earning potential as a DJ.
Yeah, definitely, man. For those DJs and up and coming, or, you know, if you currently have your own business, you want to start your own business, it's very important to have that business mindset. You know, I went to school for business administration. So just taking those elements of like how businesses are run, you know, relationships are very, very important. You have to have a strong relationship. You know, a relationship can go either way. A relationship can be like this. You can pick up the phone and call somebody. Boom, I got you. If something goes bad, you can still pick up the phone and call somebody and say, don't worry about it, I know we good, it's a situation, let's get back on track some other time. That's a relationship. So relationships are very strong. Standing by your brand is very strong. And just don't do it for the money. You know, I'll be honest with you, honest with everybody on this podcast, one time I was just like, yo, I just want the money. Because I was going through a phase in my life where it was like, yeah, just give me the money. I don't care, I'll do whatever party. But it got to a point I didn't feel right in myself. You know what I'm saying? I would feel it, and you could hear it in the music, like, you know, something's wrong with Brown because he's not playing the way he's playing. So I had to take a step back and really reevaluate stuff. And you have to have a passion for it, just like you said in the beginning. But when it comes down to a business, be professional. Don't be on time. Be early. On time means you're right on time. Be early. Relationships, stand by your brand, keep your word. You know, if you're going out doing events, you know, I always tell DJs, you know, especially if you're doing a wedding or something like that, a private event, dressed apart. Now, I get it, you know, some people don't want to wear a suit and tie, that's totally fine, but dressed apart, you know, look neat, be professional, show up on time, smile, you know, ask your guests if they're good, you know, ask the client that booked you, hey, is everything okay, anything you need me to do, and really take that extra step, because they're going to remember that. They're going to say, wow, you know, Brown came to my event, he was early, he was dressed, he had everything I needed, he was there before I got there, sound check was done, you know, at the end of the night, you know, he came up to me, we shook hands. It's really just something you guys have to study, and this doesn't happen overnight. It's just practice and practice, and do your research and ask other DJs, hey, you know, how are you successful in this part? How are you successful in this way? But being professional is really key, because you can have all the skills in the world, greatest DJ, greatest beat mixer, greatest beat juggler, DMC champ, whatever. But if your business brand isn't up to par, no one's going to book you. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to trust your brand. Yeah, he's a great DJ, but it's never on time. It's not professional. He drinks during the gigs. He tried to talk to my daughter during the gig. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's things that I don't do. You know, this is, you know, if you're paying me for a service, this is a service that you're going to get. And like I said, I was very fortunate to study business and to continue to study business, and, you know, just recognize and see things. And plus, you know, as we're in this business, we get more mature, we start to understand things a little bit more. Maybe 10 years ago and I wouldn't have done that, 15 years ago and I wouldn't have done that, you know. So it's just really the experience. But I would just say study, speak to other DJ companies, and other DJs out there, if you're interested, look at some DJ companies. Hey, go out with them. Hey, can I come out with you and just shadow you for a bit? Can I be an intern? You know, that's how I learned, you know. So yeah, man, just do that, you'll be fine.
Awesome, man. That's super important. And like you said, DJs are responsible for these events that are super important to people's lives. Mm-hmm. And when the customer trusts you to deliver on what they're paying you for, it's a good feeling on their end. I hire a lot of DJs for various virtual events right now. And, right. you know, there's some amazing DJs, but have failed me in regards to, hey, they are they going to show up on time yeah. and deliver mm-hmm. for me when I have this huge investor that I need them to perform for? And it's like, DJs, yeah, you have to be professional and see this not only as something that takes skill, but something that takes professionalism for you to be able to succeed at it. So kudos to you for always showing up and always being so professional, because that's super important to me as a business person. And I encourage all DJs to watch what Brown Boy is doing. He is doing it well. And if you can, you know, mirror some of the things that he's doing in terms of his professionalism, you will find success in this business.
Yeah, definitely, man. Thank you. For real, man. Just like I said, y'all, just learn. Be humble, man. That's it. You know?
Awesome, man. Let's quickly, you know, talk about, you know, where you are today. And, you mm-hmm. know, we're in 2021 and COVID-19 has really disrupted this DJ industry. Tell us a little bit about where we are today, and then we'll jump into the lightning round.
Yeah, man. COVID. It's like you said, it's hit the DJ and the hospitality industry really hard. You know, I have a few friends that are full-time DJs that are really, you know, struggling financially or trying to find other means to make ends meet or just trying to just figure it out. You know, unfortunately, I have a couple of friends that, you know, I'm not going to DJ no more because I need to figure something out. I got to put food on the table. But, you know, COVID hit. It was a real big change. And I think it was an eye-opener in some sense. I always look at things as a balance. There's a reason why things happen. Now, unfortunately, you know, we don't want the unfortunate things to happen. You know, people have died because of it. You know, income is lost, jobs have been lost. That's a very unfortunate thing. But I always look at things as a balance. There's two sides to a story. During COVID, it really had me sit down and think about how I can be more creative with the presentation, with the music, and how I can appreciate the music even more than I've been doing so already. It made you think a lot. You know, when you're in quarantine, you're stuck in the house, you have time to think. So you think about things. And, you know, 2020 was a year where I was just like, wow, this is just crazy. How are we going to bounce back? Like, how are we going to do this? What's the next step? And now 2021, you know, it's still fresh. As you said, the Zoom and the virtual parties, that's what's key right now. So just DJs transferring over to that and making time for that. Some people are struggling with that because here's the thing I want to say about the virtual and live streaming. Like, I'll be honest with you, just do it because you love it. If you do it because, oh, I don't have 50 million people on, don't worry about it. Do it because you love it. It's practice, record yourself, go back, critique yourself. I could have done this better, done this, you know, that's what I do. I mean, I'll be honest with you, everybody who's listening to this thing, I live stream it now and then. Sometimes I only have one person on for 2 hours, but it doesn't stop me. Keep on going, keep on practicing. And maybe the next time you log on, you might have 5 and maybe 10 or 20. You know, we're not all going to be that person that gets like 11,000 people. I mean, it's nice, but just do it because you love it, man. And like I said, practice, and be humble and learn. That's your practice right there. Hey, let me just practice a little bit. Let me just turn on my live. So practice, record yourself. That's what I do all the time. So I just want everyone to really, you know, take that into heart. And like I said, don't just do it for people, because if you do it for just people for money, like, your whole vibe is going to change. And people can sense that. You know, our listeners and our viewers, they are very smart. DJs, very smart. So just follow your brand, follow your heart, follow your passion, and the success and the money and the followers will come. It's got to be patient, man. Everything happens in time.
Wonderful advice, man. Appreciate it. And we're going to jump right into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
Awesome. Describe your DJ setup, hardware, and software.
Right now, I have the Pioneer DJ SRT-1000. Thank you, Jesus. I love it. MacBook Pro 15-inch DJ software, Serato DJ Pro. Been rocking with that for like 10, 11, 12 years, so I absolutely love it. So that's what I have right now.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
DJ Jazzy Jeff.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and why?
Oh man, it's been so many. I would have to say a specific venue. Whenever I go to this venue, it's called the Chateau Briones in Long Island. It's a catering hall venue space, and I love that because I just love the decor of the place. And you know, sometimes if the, you know, wedding is at the bride and groom, they'll come out the floor and it'll be like dry ice, and it'll be like an amazing view. And just the vibe, every time I go there, the vibe is only good with the crowd. So I'd probably say that's probably one of my favorite places I enjoy playing. Besides that, maybe like a college parties here and there, but I really love doing weddings because just the environment, and you're able to get dressed up and everybody's all grown and just having fun. So yeah.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Interesting. I gotta say Red Alert. When I used to sit in the DJ booth in Colors, Red Alert would come up, just talk to me. And this is like, wow, I just listened to you on the radio like yesterday and you're talking to me, you know? So I would have to say I'm a really cool guy, laid back. Red Alert is probably one of the most interesting people I met in my career.
What's one thing that you hate about live streaming as a DJ?
Sometimes the Wi-Fi is crappy, but you got to deal with it, man. Just that interaction, like that human interaction with people, you know, when you're in a club, a bar, an event, and you just look over the DJ booth and you see people there like vibing out. You know, I kind of miss that. That's one thing I do hate, but I understand why we're doing this right now because of the obvious situation. But I just miss that in-person interaction. I miss hearing the crowd going, oh, and like, you know, you can't really get that on a webcam or a Zoom, you know what I'm saying? So just that in-person, I miss. That's one thing I hate, but otherwise, I love it, you know.
And shout out to any DJs you know personally whose story needs to be heard on this podcast.
Oh, man. My whole Geek Chic DJ crew. There's so many talented guys and my DJ brothers and DJ sisters. I mean, just Tim Gray, DJ Cam, DJ CEO, DJ C. Devone, DJ Kamish, I Am Dubs. Oh, man. It's so many. That's my family, man. And they really, really helped me out along with my Final Touch family, you know, Slick Vic, DJ Sparks, DJ Royal. It's just so many people. I have to email you the list, bro. Because you can have a whole 2 months full just of the people I know. And they would definitely would love to come on here and share their story because we need that platform. You know what I'm saying? And this is really dope what you're doing, man. And I really, really appreciate you taking the time out of your time, of your day, you know, to give me the opportunity to speak about what I do and what I love. Hopefully we can inspire people because, you know, it's good that the DJs are finally getting their just due, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Like before it was kind of like, you know, whatever MC was in front, the DJ was in the back, he or she wasn't known, but now it's like the DJs are really coming forward. You know what I'm saying? And we definitely appreciate that. Everything you do, especially with this and in the club, man, I really appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you. And where can people find you online or in person if you're still doing events?
You can find me online at Instagram, DJ Brown Boy. Remember, the boy is spelled B-O-Y because Big Boy is one of my favorite artists from Outkast. You can also find me on Facebook, same thing, Twitter, all social media platforms. Pretty much right now, I'm not really doing any outside gigs. Did a couple of virtual events, but hopefully we got some locked down for this year. So, and a couple of lounges coming up in the near future. So once I'm back on, if you guys follow me on social media, you can just hit me up. And if you DM me, that's me answering the DMs. It's not nobody. It's not, you know, it's me. I'm talking to you. You know, that's a great way for us to get to know each other. Hit me up. You know, like I said, I'm down to talk to people. I'm down to learn, man. I want to vibe out. Want to have a cup of coffee? Let's go to Starbucks. Hey, why not? As long as you're paying, we good. No, I'm just playing. You know
what I'm saying? Awesome, brother. Hey, it's been amazing having you on the My DJ Story podcast. I've gotten a lot of value out of this conversation. I'm sure our audience will as well. People, please check out DJ Brown Boy. Follow him, talk to him. He's an amazing brother. And that's a wrap, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man. Shout out to In The Club app, to you, man. You're doing the big thing. I really appreciate it. Follow this man, y'all. This man is doing great things for us DJs and music lovers, man. I remember when I found out about it, one of my boys hit me up. He was like, yo, check out this cat. He got this app you can go on. I was like, word. And I just did it. And ever since then, we had a connection, man. So shout out to you, man, everything you do.
Thank you, brother.
No doubt, man.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.